verse that I would like to leave with you this morning is the verse 9, Matthew 21. Verse 9, "And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." The verses that we read this morning contain a remarkable passage, indeed something that was unique in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. These verses describe his public entry into Jerusalem. When he came there for the last time before his crucifixion. This indeed was a strange event. So very different from anything else that had happened to our Savior, that it is indeed viewed as an important event is clear, since every evangelist, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have taken pains to record it in their Gospels. Other events which took place in the course of the Lord's ministry have not been recorded by the Holy Spirit four times over. But this event is one that is found in the four Gospels. Four is the number of the world. So here is an event worthy of the attention of the whole world. As our Lord enters the metropolis of his nation, amid the hosannas of the multitude that came to see him there, may the Holy Spirit help us to glean the many lessons that are to be found in this passage of Scripture, and then this unique event in the Lord's earthly ministry. And may this sight of our Lord cause us to join with the voices of the multitudes, and today also to cry, Hosanna to the Son of David. I want first of all to consider the arrival of the Savior at Jerusalem. Regarding the Lord's arrival in Jerusalem before his crucifixion, I want us to consider the significance of the arrival. The significance of the arrival. The Passover was on the 14th day of the month. Many Jews were assembling in Jerusalem for that great event. That event that was held on the 14th day of the month. That which is significant about the Lord's arrival is the fact that the Lord Jesus arrived on the 10th day, 4 days before the Passover. Turn, please, to the book of Exodus. Exodus in chapter 12. And in Exodus chapter 12, We have here a record of the Passover night. And we read in verse 3, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day," it's the same day the Lord entered into Jerusalem, "in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." So according to the law of God, it was on the 10th day that the Passover lamb was taken up and set apart in preparation for the feast of the Passover. It was done on the 10th day. Jesus Christ, of course, is the Lamb of God. And here is the Lamb of God arriving at Jerusalem on the 10th day of the month. Here we see the Lord Jesus being taken up and brought before the gaze of the people, as the Lamb was brought before the gaze of the Israelites before it was slain in preparation for the Passover. Jesus Christ, as he went to Jerusalem that day, was brought before the gaze of the people before the Lamb was slain. And it happened on the 10th day of the month, the same day as the Lamb was brought before the gaze of the people of Israel before the Passover feast. My, isn't this a wonderful book? And when we consider the significance of this event, we would surely be prompted to join with the multitudes and cry, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The significance of his arrival, the singularity of his arrival. This was a singular event. The Lord Jesus had never gone to Jerusalem in this fashion before. This was a once-only event in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. We see the Lord differently on this particular day than at any other time in his ministry. When he rode into Jerusalem riding upon the colt of an ass, he allowed for the first time, he allowed attention to be drawn to himself. We know, of course, that that was not always the case. If you go back, please, in Matthew's Gospel to the chapter 12. Matthew 12 and verse 14. "Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." Now verse 16. "And he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets." In other words, he will not publish the fact that he has arrived in the streets of the cities, and whenever he healed people, he told them not to make him known. We know that he did that on other occasions also. People that he healed, he told them to keep it to themselves, not to make it known. Now, we have the Lord Jesus arriving in Jerusalem, and we see here that it is very different indeed. Where before he charged people not to make him known, now the Lord Jesus is being made known. He's riding into Jerusalem, and a great procession of people, a great multitude of people following him. And he is there out in the open for all to see. Why the change? Jesus Christ knew that the hour was approaching when he must finish the mighty work he had been sent to do, namely to die for sinners on the cross. Jesus Christ knew that his last journey had been accomplished and that there remained nothing now in his earthly ministry but to be offered as a sacrifice on Calvary. The Lord Jesus, knowing all this, he now presents himself to the people because it was only fitting that everyone would know and everyone would see him as he made his way to the cross. The work of Calvary, the work of purchasing the souls of his people through the shedding of his blood was something that ought not to have been done in secret or done in a corner, but openly, publicly, for all to see. The greatest work that God ever wrought was the salvation of his people through the sacrifice of his Son and the shedding of the blood of Emmanuel. That work could not be done in a corner. It was done openly for all to see. And as the Lord made his way to that place of sacrifice, the multitude cried, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Then we notice, thirdly, the simplicity of his arrival. Even though the Lord was thronged by multitudes upon his arrival in Jerusalem, we cannot help but notice the simplicity of it all. We cannot help but notice the Lord's humility as he made his way into Jerusalem that day. The Lord Jesus, remember, is approaching the place of battle, where on the cross he's going to do battle with the powers of darkness. Now you would have thought that our mighty warrior, our mighty victor, the captain of our salvation, would have gone to Jerusalem that day, riding on a chariot, or on the back of a white stallion. Instead, he rides into Jerusalem, sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. Horses, according to Scripture, are beasts of battle. They were used by the horsemen in times of battle to go out against the enemy or to draw chariots going into battle. You remember the song of Miriam in Exodus 15:21, where she sang about the horses of Pharaoh being thrown into the sea. And so the horse was a beast of battle, the colt of an ass was the beast of burden. It was most appropriate then, when you think of it. It was most appropriate that the Lord Jesus should enter Jerusalem riding upon the colt of an ass, number one, because of his mission. Riding upon a beast of burden would remind us of the Savior's mission. Why did he come into the world? Why was he going to Jerusalem that day? Why he was going there to die, to shed his blood, that he might lift the burdens of sinners. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Was it then not most appropriate that the Lord Jesus, the great burden bearer, should ride into Jerusalem to go to Calvary, sitting upon a beast of burden? Reminding us of the Savior's mission. As Paul reminds us in Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear sins of many, to bear away the burdens of sin. He is the great burden bearer. We notice also not only his mission, but his meekness. Riding upon a lowly animal such as the colt of an ass would speak to us of his meekness, his humility. For we read there in verse 5 of Matthew 21, the fulfillment of the prophetic word spoken by Zacharias. Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9 of his prophecy. Verse 5, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt of an ass. The Lord Jesus, in fulfillment of the prophetic word, came into Jerusalem as one who was meek. Most fitting then, that he was riding upon the colt of an ass, such a lowly animal as the colt of an ass. The word meek means gentle or mild. It refers not so much to an outward behavior, someone behaving in a gentle and in a mild way, but rather it refers to an inward grace in the soul, having a meek, mild, gentle heart. That's the word that's used here to describe Jesus Christ. It is that temper of spirit in which we accept God's dealings with us. Whatever God brings our way, the word refers to us facing those things in a meek way. Having an inward meekness and gentleness. Having this within our hearts, this mild, gentle spirit. That's the word used to describe the Lord Jesus. Isn't it interesting that this word is used to describe Christ? To accept, the word is used to describe our acceptance of God's dealings with us. And Jesus Christ came into the world to do the will of his Father. He knew as he went into Jerusalem that day, he was going there to be crucified. And he went into Jerusalem that day, riding upon the colt of an ass, with this meek and gentle grace that was there deep within his heart. Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. You remember in Matthew 11, the Lord Jesus, in preaching to those who were heavy laden, Matthew 11, verse 28, the Lord had this to say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." I believe we have pointed this out before, that whenever the yoke was placed upon two oxen, the farmer would always have one experienced ox linked to one that was less experienced. An old ox that knew how to plow and to draw the plow or draw a carriage. And he would put the experienced oxen with the inexperienced, so that when they would be yoked together, the young oxen could learn from the older. The Lord Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Then he says, "For I am meek and lowly." When we're yoked to Jesus Christ, he's our teacher. And he will teach us this meekness, this gentleness that we see in him. We notice concerning the simplicity of his arrival, his mission, riding in the colt of an ass reminds us of his mission. He has come to bear away the burdens and the sins of many. It reminds us of his meekness, not riding on a great white stallion, a beast of battle, but riding upon a lowly ass, reminding us of his meekness. It reminds us also of his majesty. The multitude cried, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The Son of David, there we are. Reminded of his majesty. He's the king. This brings before us his royalty. He's of the house of David. We might then say, should not a king going up to battle, but riding upon a horse instead of a lowly colt of an ass, that may be the case under ordinary circumstances. But what we have to remember is that the one that went into Jerusalem that day riding upon the colt of an ass is the Prince of Peace. It's the Prince of Peace. Therefore, he doesn't go into Jerusalem riding a great horse or a great steed, a great black or white steed. He goes there riding into Jerusalem on a lowly colt of an ass. He's the Prince of Peace. "Behold, thy king cometh to thee meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." So far concerning the Savior's arrival in Jerusalem, We have considered the significance of it, the singularity of it, the simplicity of it. Now let's consider the scripturalness of it. We've already pointed out there that those words in verse 5 is the fulfillment of prophecy. Zechariah 9 and verse 9. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt of an ass. You turn to Zechariah chapter 9. And just let us look at the verse from which these words are taken. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew 21. And as I have been studying it this week, that which has come home to me most forcibly concerning the scripturalness of the Lord's entry into Jerusalem, namely being the fulfillment of prophecy, that which has struck me has been first of all the Lord's foreknowledge. Foreknowledge. To acquire the colt of an ass and the ass itself, these two animals, these two beasts of burden, the Lord sent his disciples into a certain village. And the Lord said to them, verse 2, ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. Here's the foreknowledge of God. Here's the foreknowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, the one who knows all things. Let me list for you some of the things the Lord knew about the colt of an ass. First of all, he knew the place. Verse 2, he told them to go into a certain village. He knew the village where the disciples would find the ass and the colt of an ass. So he knew the place. He knew the position of the ass and the colt of an ass because Matthew 21 verse 2 tells us again they were tied. Think of the detail here. And the Lord was able to give to the disciples place and the position they were tied. He told them something about the owners, about the people who owned the ass and the colt of an ass. Luke 19, verse 33. He also told them what the owners might say. The Lord knew the very word that would come out of the lips of the owners of the ass and the colt of an ass. Because the Lord said to the disciples that the owner will say to you, why do ye take these animals? You the very words. So he knew the place, he knew the position, he knew the persons, he knew the plea, why do ye? He knew also that there was a pair of animals, an ass and the colt of an ass. And he knew also, he knew the particulars regarding the ass and the colt of an ass, because in Mark 11 verse 2, he tells the disciples, these animals never man has set, has been seated on these animals. He knew the very particulars that they never had a rider upon them at any time. Never man sat. That's wonderful. Foreknowledge of God. He knows all things. And he knew also. This here is a little detail that perhaps I have missed in the past. We're told in Zechariah 9, I'll just read it to you, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." In other words, the Lord Jesus rode both animals into Jerusalem. Riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. And the Lord Jesus, in speaking to the disciples, the Lord knowing the prophetic word, that he must ride into Jerusalem upon the backs of two animals. What did he say to the disciples in verse 2 of Matthew 21, saying unto them, "Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me." Verse 3, "And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them." Now look at verse 7. "And brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon." A little detail. A little detail in Scripture, yet the Lord attended to it. Zechariah said he must ride upon the backs of both animals. And that's exactly what he did. Hosanna to the Son of David. One time I preached a message about the colt of an ass. Don't be offended, but I likened the colt of an ass unto a believer. And there's wonderful teaching there. The Lord Jesus sat upon the colt of an ass upon which never man had sat. You try and do that sometime. I don't think any one of us will be sitting on that coat of an ass too long. It'll throw us off. But the coat of an ass and the ass conformed to the will of the Lord Jesus. They didn't throw him off. They didn't resist the Lord riding upon their backs. And when they went into Jerusalem, what were they doing? They were lifting up Christ. He was sitting on the backs of the animals where everyone could see him. And something else. The Lord said, "Bring her and the colt of an ass to me." And so you have the mother and the foal, the young and the old, and the Lord used both of them as he went into Jerusalem. You see, the Lord can use us all, both young and old. So the Lord went into Jerusalem, and he went there according to the word of the prophet Zechariah. It was a scriptural journey. Notice the acclamation. How the Lord was acclaimed as he entered into Jerusalem. The Lord rode into Jerusalem, we're told. Very great multitudes followed him and came to look upon him. As he passes through the streets, they shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David." As they engage in this exaltation of Jesus Christ, notice firstly the procession. Verse 9, "And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They got it again. And the multitudes that went before and that followed. Where's Jesus Christ? He's in the midst. There were those who went before. There were those who came behind. There were those who no doubt lined the roadway. And Jesus Christ is in the center. Hosanna to the Son of David. Christ must always be in the center. He must always be in the midst. Dear Christian, let us make sure that Jesus Christ is always in the center of our lives. You'll notice that they cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Then they cried, Hosanna in the highest. You remember at his birth, the angels filled the skies and they sang glory to God in the highest. What were they doing? They were thanking the Father for his Son. Glory to God in the highest. As the Lord Jesus rode through the streets of Jerusalem, they were singing Hosanna in the highest. Thank God for thy Son. Dear Christian, when was the last time we thank God for his Son? Hosanna to the Son of David. I have much more to say in this passage of Scripture, and I'll leave it there for the moment, and we'll conclude our study in this latter evening service. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Father and eternal God, we do indeed this morning say and join with the multitudes as they cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. Lord, we would add our hosannas to their voices today. Father, we thank thee for thy Son. We thank thee, dear Lord, for giving thy Son. And O Lord, it is our prayer, as thou hast reminded us today, it is our prayer that in everything we do, that Jesus Christ will be in the midst. That in all things he will have the preeminence. Lord, answer prayer. Gracious Lord, as the multitudes went before and followed and watched as the Savior rode into Jerusalem, we know, Lord, their eyes were not upon the colt of an ass, but their eyes were on Christ. O Lord, as we go through this world, may the eyes of the world not be on us, but may they be on Christ. May they see Jesus Christ in us. Help us, Lord, to lift him up. Help us to exalt him. Gracious Lord, bless thy word to our hearts today. Have us to go from this place rejoicing in the Lord, crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abide and remain with us until the Lord Jesus comes again and comes in all his majesty and in all His glory to bring His loved ones home. Amen.